Dear Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for this time we get to gather together, Lord. We thank you for your love and your grace for us, God. Thank you for just your faithfulness. Lord, we pray that these words would edify and glorify you, would learn more about who you are, more about how you move through Peter and Andrew's life to glorify you. Praise these in Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty. I'm going to start out in, we're going to be jumping all over the Gospels, just so you know. So, this is about mainly Peter. We're going to go over Andrew a little bit, but mainly Peter. Okay, start in John. John 1, we're going to start in verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Peter was one of my favorite Bible characters growing up, like from the ages like 5 all the way up to like 8 or 9. I remember this one time I was talking to my grandpa and to Papa, and he asked me, "What's your favorite Bible character?" And I told him Peter. He's like, "Why?" I'm like, "Because he was bold and he had a sword and he cut off a guy's ear." That's legit was my answer. Because I loved swords at that point in my life. I loved sword fighting. Sword fighting scenes were always my favorite growing up. But Peter was a flawed character. Peter was a flawed character in these. And today's theme or topic is going to be how Peter kind of grew and how he changed and how he directed that boldness toward what Jesus wanted him to do, being Peter, being the rock of the church. We're going to jump to Matthew 4, 18 through 20. Again, we'll be jumping over the Gospels for this, so bear with me. Okay, Matthew 4, 18 through 20. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. According to the NIV study Bible, these men already knew Jesus. They had talked to Peter and Andrew previously, and the verse I just, in the very beginning, that I said to you in John 1, and had been preaching inside the area. When Jesus called them, they knew what kind of man he was, and were willing to follow him. Jesus told Peter and Andrew to leave their fishing business and fish for people and help others find God. So they went from fishermen, which is a trade, to being fishers of men. Now we go from kind of this intro, this is how Peter and Andrew enter in to this story, to the main part of the story. And the main part of the story, as I explained before there, and in other narratives, there's often the character that changes. One of my favorite examples of this is that literature is the character of Bilbo Baggins inside The Hobbit. Bilbo Baggins goes from being in a hobbit hole, and not a nasty, dirty hobbit hole, but a well-furnished, nice hobbit hole. And he is very comfortable, very in that way. And through his journey, he goes from these things of, "Oh, I forgot this thing. Oh, I wish I was back now. And inside my hobbit hole," to now, I'm actually enjoying this journey. I'm actually wanting to be with these dwarves in this case. I'm actually enjoying this journey that I'm on. Then we go to that's maybe. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I was like, what is that noise?
I thought that was your cell phone.
Okay, so let me go into the first part of Peter's story, as we actually just talked about. Matthew 14, 22 through 33, Jesus walks on water. Here we go. Immediately, he made disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was long away from land. Beaten by the waves, the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out for fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So, they're out on a boat, and they see this human-looking thing walking on water, and they're like, "It's a ghost!" And they're terrified. And I mean, if I was on that boat, I'd probably be terrified too. There's a human-looking thing walking on the water. Never seen that before in my life. And so this human-looking thing comes. It's a ghost, and they're terrified. And Jesus says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter, being the first one to talk again, bold one, being the first one to talk, he says, Lord, if it is you, come, tell me to come and walk to you." And Jesus says, "Come." So he walks out on the waves. I can't imagine what that would have been like. But many times, still to this day, when I go out on a boat, like a canoe or something, I go from the dock to the boat. There's often times where I'll go on the boat, and I'll start rocking or whatever. I'm like, "Ah!" And I'm like trying to indent my dad. And so I was like, commit to one or the other, either the dock or the boat. You have to commit to one. And I'm like, "But what if it sinks? What if I fall?" I can't imagine Peter just having that amount of faith. He'll just be like, "I don't even need a water, here you go." You know, and I think that's really cool. In that moment, he had the faith to do that. Then the wind comes, and he starts sinking. He starts being afraid. And he's like, "Lord, save me." He has faith enough to say, "Save me," that God can save him. God comes, Jesus comes to grab his hand, pulls him out of the water, and saves him. One thing that Peter learns in this moment is about faith and how little. One of the things we learn about Peter is how little, but also how much faith Peter has in that moment. Let me jump to Matthew 15, 10 through 20. It says this. This is what defiles a person. I'll give you a second to turn there. And he called to the people and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into your mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of your mouth, that this defiles a person." Then the disciples came to him and said, "Do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit." Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." He said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. In Jewish culture, there are certain foods that you cannot eat. And also in Jewish culture, you have to be clean to in order to eat. And Jesus kind of flips this on its head, and it's like, woo! And now guess what? It doesn't matter what you eat, what you consume. It matters what comes out of your mouth. The words, the sayings that come out of your mouth is what matters. And he says, and this is super important in Peter in particular, because he actually struggles with this even into Acts. Peter has visions inside of Acts about not being able or being able for Judeo-Christians, trying to think of that word, to be able to eat unclean food or not. He also gets a talking to by Paul and for him sitting at a Jewish table and not sitting with other people as well. So Peter, this is his first, to my knowledge, this is his first kind of exposure to this concept. But even in Acts, you see that Peter still has to learn a couple of things about this specific topic. Okay, so before we get to the next one, I have to explain this a little bit. In the Old Testament, there are two pictures of Jesus' coming. There are the lamb, so there's the suffering servant, there's the one who will suffer, and the servant to others, and then there's also the reigning king. The reigning king, you find that in having basically freedom and the king of the Jews, that kind of foretelling. This next part kind of flips that up on its head. Going to go to Matthew 15 again, 21 through 26. Here we go. From that, I believe that's the right one. Sorry if it's not, but I think that's right. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but of the things, of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" So we have this first section, 21 through 23, which confronts that dichotomy. Peter thinks in this moment that Jesus has come to free them from the Romans. And that he's come as the reigning king to be freed from Roman captivity. And God is saying, "No, you're setting your mind on things here, on earth. I'm setting more important things to save you from your sin, to save you from you being in eternal hell, essentially." And so these things is what Jesus is saying in this moment. In the second half, about him denying yourself. I'll read it again. "If anyone come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. If he loses his life for my sake, will find it." So this is saying, I am going to be the suffering servant. In order to follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself, and come live for me, come have purpose in me, in following Jesus. That's what we're called to. That's what they were called to. And saying, take, being able to follow Jesus in that, and not living for themselves in that moment. For if you try to save your life, you will lose it, you will lose purpose, but if you deny yourself and lose your life, you will find purpose in following Christ, only in Christ. Then, okay, the washing of feet, John 13, 1 through 16. Peter's learning all these different lessons as we get to kind of the climax of in the Gospels, kind of the climax of Peter's story inside the Gospels. This next one, the washing of feet. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Wow. That's really cool. Let me read that second part again. I think that's really cool. Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world and loved them to the end. Jesus loved them to the end. That's really cool. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God. So, knowing all that, he does this. All that I just read, he does this. Rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. This is so Peter. But also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. And that was why he said, not all of you are clean. So knowing that his time was coming to an end, he was going to die, God was in control of everything, Judas was going to betray him, knowing all of that, he washed all the disciples' feet, including Judas. I know I just did the finger. Including Judas. And Peter is like still seeing God as King, as Lord. I know I often do this when I often see God as Lord and King, and it's a little bit more difficult for me to see him in a more relational sense than it is for me to see him as God, and he is God. But Peter is struggling here with kind of the same thing. He's like, you're God. You're King. You're washing my feet. This is not how it's supposed to be. This is a servant's job. If anything, I'd be washing your feet. He doesn't say that, but that's what I would probably say. If anything, I'd be washing your feet. And the Lord says, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Servantship, right? This is a picture of a Lord, again, a King, coming down from heaven, coming down from his throne, and serving, and loving, and healing. Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head. Just like, do everything then. Because I want to be all in. I want to be with you. He's like, the one who has not bathed does not need to. The one who has bathed, does not need to wash except for his feet. But he's completely clean. And they knew that someone was going to betray him. And then we get to verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment, he resumed his place and said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. You are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Excuse me. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Jesus tells them to serve. Jesus tells them to, I served you, and a servant is not greater than his messenger, than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. I served you as a serve one another. Serve others. Peter is learning in these moments about servantship, about what it means to serve. And so are all the other disciples, but Peter learning in a more extreme way, I think, a more direct way, I'll say that. In that he's like he's very much thinking of Jesus as King and as Lord, and this paints a picture of this is not just King and Lord, this is relational. This is here and now. Let me get to one of We get to one of the most important ones when it comes to Acts, the book of Acts. Matthew 16, 15 through 18. This is going to be the last one before we get to the Last Supper, to kind of the climax of this whole thing. Okay, here we go. Peter says Jesus is Lord. So Jesus asks the disciples, who do people say I am? They give a bunch of guesses. Like, some people think you're Elijah. Some people think you're Moses. Some people think you're all these prophets. Give a bunch of guesses, and he says to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter, being Simon Peter, replied, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Peter, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Fun fact, my dad's name is Andrew Peter Wilkinson. And Peter, in this case, means rock. Means the foundation. Jesus is saying here, I will build. I'm not equivalent my dad to Peter by any means, but I will build the big C church on you. You will be a core thing, a core builder of this church. Peter as the rock. Let me get to the Last Supper, John 13, 36 through 38, please. All right. Here we go. That's the Peter as the rock is important to Acts because he ends up being a very important role in bringing the church to together inside the book of Acts. The first six chapters, I believe, are all about Peter and his and the Holy Spirit helping him build the church. Verse 36, here we go. So Last Supper happens, Judas leaves, we get to this. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going now, you cannot follow. You cannot follow me now. But you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow until you've denied me 3 times. You don't have to turn here, but Matthew 26:35 puts it this way. Excuse me. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. Of course, Peter ends up denying Jesus 3 times. We'll get to that. And then he ends up repenting from that, saying, I love you, three times. We'll get to that too at the very end. But you have this thing of Peter being saying, I'm not going to deny you. You are king. You are Lord. And when he's faced with hard pressure, hard times, let's see what he does. And when I was a kid, apparently, here is one of my favorite stories, so I think it's bizarre. Matthew 26:51-56 is this. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant. Actually, I read this just literally yesterday, and I was like, wait a minute, it doesn't say that it's Peter. Excuse me? And then I read in John the same thing, and it actually does say it's Peter. I'm like, okay, we're all good. I got scared for a second there. Drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place. For all you take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father who will once send me more than 12,000 legions of angels? But now then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so. At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clothes to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching. You do not seize me. But all of this was taking place in the scriptures and the prophets might be fulfilled, that all disciples left him and fled. In this we see kind of still this painting of, like, Peter is seeing him as, you're going to free us from the Romans, right? Okay, wait, you're right. You're going to free us from the Romans, right? I'm going to say it. You're going to cut off this guy's ear. You're going to free us from the Romans, right? And Jesus said, no, that's not why I'm here, Peter. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to free you from something much, much bigger. Much, much bigger. We finally get to Peter denies Jesus. John 18:15-18, and then we're going to do 25-27. Peter denies Jesus. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, which that disciple was known to the high priest. He entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood outside the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. That's one. Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing warming themselves. Peter also with them, standing and warming himself. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, you also are not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it. But I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of a man whose ear Peter cut off, asked, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter again denied it. And at once, the rooster crowed. Matthew says it this way. This is Matthew 26. You don't have to turn here, but 74-75, he says this. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man. Immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crowed, you will deny it three times. And he wept bitterly. This is possibly one of the lowest, or not the lowest, point in Peter's life. This Lord that he had followed, he had been with, seen so many things, protected, had been turned over to Pilate at that point, actually to the Sadducees and Pharisees at that point, and he had denied that. He said, I have not been with him three times. We get the cross. Amazing is not enough words to describe what the cross does. And we get the resurrection, which is another amazing thing. We get the disciples being very sad. Jesus rises, and then he does the road to Emmaus. He does other things. But one of the things is involving Peter. This is in John 21, 15 through 19. This is the end, this is the last part, and then we will pray and go from here. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this to him, follow me. Peter goes from the lowest of lows to Jesus asking him three times, do you love me? Each one of those three times, us in the English language only have one word for love. This is three different words for love. So he asks him in three different ways, do you love me? In this way, do you love me? In that way, do you love me? In the third way. And Peter says yes to all three, and he commands them. He commands Peter to, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. He commands him to lead, to be Peter, to be the rock. And then at the very end, he says, follow me. Peter at this is beginning to understand. There are still lots of things for Peter to learn, which we don't have time to cover, unfortunately. But in this, Peter understands that, at the very least, why Jesus came. He didn't come to free them from the Romans. He came to free them from their sins, from themselves and from Satan. Let me pray, and then we will go from there. Peter repents from his denial of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we are flawed. Father, we desire to be more like you. We desire for forgiveness. We desire for to be like you, to love you, to serve you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you have given us. We thank you for Peter's example of turning to you, to moving his boldness to you, to be a mouthpiece, to be the rock of who you are and what it is to become inside the book of Acts. Lord, I thank you for you sending yourself down on the cross. We thank you for the Lamb who died to give us life, eternal life, for you, to honor you, to glorify you, to spread your word throughout the world. That is our purpose, and that is our goal, to serve and honor you forevermore. We praise you in Jesus' name.